Welcome to the latest edition in our second series of Podmaster, where our master, Lars Anderson, and myself, Mark Huxley, Junior Warden at the Company of Entrepreneurs, discuss a variety of things happening within the company and a range of broader topics of interest to entrepreneurs. We hope you enjoy. Lars, good to see you again, my friend. Podmaster time comes around again. Hope you've been well.
Yeah, very well, thank you. And you too, Mark.
Thank you. Yeah, all good this end. So since the last time we sat down and spoke, the Lord Mayor has unveiled his initial findings, reports and recommendations for his Culture and Commerce Task Force that has the slightly longer title of Culture and Commerce, Fueling Creative Renewal. There were three elements to what he was trying to do as key recommendations that I think encapsulates it for the intention of what is a very long detailed document, which I will put some links onto at the end when we publish the podcast. But the main recommendations was to enable creative activation, bringing London alive through creativity, facilitating culture and commerce exchange, building skills and knowledge sharing between culture and commerce. And I'm kind of guessing that's where we might thread some of this conversation, and developing creative enterprise hubs, providing space for cross-sector innovation. So actually putting some people back to go and play nicely with each other, shall we say, that come from different sectors. So I guess kind of more thinking about the middle part then, about, you know, culture and commerce. Do you think that's something which is achievable within the, you know, the City of London culture as was and as it might adapt going forward?
Most people, when asked about the city, really think about the cultural side. There is a bit of culture, sort of tourist culture. People come to see St. Paul's and so on. But essentially, I think they tend to think of the city as being commerce. It's banking, it's investment, it's insurance, it's legal services, all of these things. And then maybe around the edges, you have the Hoxtons and the old streets and the kind of more creative areas, or the Big Ben and the culture in the Westminster part of London. So I think traditionally the city hasn't really kind of sold itself on culture. So this is quite interesting and quite new.
And I guess, I mean, it's going to demand a huge, you know, kind of paradigm shift amongst those kind of, you know, the kind of state industries that you spoke of, you know, banking, stock, insurance, you know, legal, maybe to a slightly lesser extent. But it feels like it's a time ready to do it. You know, already there's been the much vaunted kind of fintech revolution that's been going on for nigh on a decade or more in some cases, and generally felt like that was kind of gathering pace into the city. So, you know, as somebody that works in it more day to day, You could see a different style of person coming into the city. It wasn't all chalk striped suits, spotty ties and cutaway collars on the guys and the few women that worked in there. I mean, it's got a lot more diverse and inclusive amongst those that are definitely coming into the city. But also a lot of tech creators and innovators and creators, you know, kind of coming and working cheek by jowl with city folk, the WeWork type revolution. So it feels like it's ready to make that paradigm shift. I guess what's going to be interesting in what's going to be a reasonable, fragile economy coming out of you know, the pandemic with the much reduced size of our UK economy, but Brexit as well. I think the role that's been playing in, certainly from a financial services point of view, moving dollars, euros and pounds out of the city to Europe and further afield, whether it can, those leading those businesses can fully embrace and take on that change. From the conversations you have, do you feel they're kind of up for the challenge and they see the need for that change?
Yeah, I think we saw the fintech and we saw some of those changes you were talking about earlier, but really recently the combination of Brexit on one side and COVID with people staying away from the city on the other, or maybe not even needing to be there, I think it's really been a very serious wake-up call to the city and how do we make sure that the city thrives going forward and what has to change. And that's, I think we're probably at an early stage of that. I think we're asking the right questions, but I think we're very far from finding the final answers to it. So I think looking at culture as one of the questions can we use culture? Can we highlight culture? And even with a cultural angle or creative angle, are we able to use that to help the renewal of the city? It's a very, very interesting one. It's pretty hard questions to ask.
Maybe there is a kind of single use case that you can put in where it definitely positively influenced it. You know, when one thinks about, you know, kind of the Old Street area, so, you know, the top end of Shoreditch going into Hoxton, that, yeah, I mean, that was a reasonably dead area. Then suddenly Google put a big office right on Old Street roundabout. And then you move the clock forward a little bit with the giant sitting in there, you know, all of the businesses are attracted into that area to create a business district, you know, that wasn't there before. And actually most of those businesses that sit in there, you know, they do put the binoculars on and they look across to those weird folk in EC postcodes, you know, within the city. And actually have been working more and more closely with them. They've almost invented a kind of a ripple effect tech culture that came into the city. So the kind of WeWork culture we were just talking about a second ago. So it feels like, yeah, put the right organization in the right place to influence the right people around it, then it could be reasonably vibrant. But again, you know, take your views on it, that all of that Google experience was kind of presupposed on the fact there were people in the city. You know, and I think in all of the uncertainties of knowing when people may or may not come back, you know, what percentage are going to come back, what job roles are going to come back, what will be done within a central hub. And again, you know, question dressed up in there of where are those changes going to come? You know, if we're going to put a creative society there, what are they going to influence and who are the people that are going to be sitting in there?
Yeah. And do they have to be in the city is a good one good question. Just on a personal side, I just hired someone who would normally be sitting in our London office and now is based in Bari in Italy. Why choose someone in London if you can get someone who is more experienced, more able to do the job somewhere else? So I think that is one interesting challenge for the city. Do you need to be in the city? And linked to that, I suppose, what is the benefit? What is the benefit of you coming into the city? You meet people, and that's where this cultural thing, I think, is very strong. It's making sure that we get that support, the creative renewal, the ideas, coming up with those answers that can help the city power through this and hopefully still continue to be that hub that has been for the last 300 plus years.
No, and again, I think you raise a really good point there, because on the one side of it, there's a threat to the city in the way we're describing it, but the opportunity has been where you do not need to be physically located into the business. You can be globally located and commune with the business. And, you know, I'm sure things are working out well for you with your man in Italy. I'm kind of reminded of chatting to, you know, our fellow Freeman Charles Armstrong and about the trampery earlier in the lockdown. And the one thing that he said he really couldn't see happening in a distant sense was ideas and creation, that they're, you know, having a hubbub of a room, you know, the warmth, the atmosphere, the kind of three-dimensionality of being in there. You just can't do that on Zoom calls. You can't do that. You know, it all becomes too sterile, too distant. And I think, you know, again, playing back to the opportunity that this throws in is to actually, okay, well, some of the transactional part of the business might move out, but actually, if it meant much more of the ideas from those businesses and the creativity is stronger, putting culture and commerce together in a way that the Lord Mayor said, and getting them to play nicely, could actually be a real step change forward to take away some of the "it's always been done this way" mentality, you know, and that kind of conservatism that's put in there, and there'd be a bit more boldness of an opportunity for change.
Yeah, completely agreed. Yeah, Zoom is very transactional, or Teams, very transactional. So you need to get together, obviously, at a time when hopefully we're all vaccinated or there is less of a risk to get together. But the city hopefully will be that place, and it could be even more important if it can get it right. So I think this push by the Lord Mayor and Mansion House is very important, very good. And obviously, as entrepreneurs, we're very happy to try to support that in any way that we think we can add value to it.
We'll come to that point in a second, because I think that's a great destination for this conversation. But I guess question just before that. So if it's going to work, what do we think the city needs to do to encourage this to happen? I mean, is it cheap rents? Is it flexibility in working environments? Yeah, flexibility in leases and the like? Is it, I don't know, supported investment to actually attract some of these folk in? Where do you think that future needs to go?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I think some ability of reducing rent for organizations that are not sort of making the same level of money as an insurance company or a bank or an investment manager makes, I think that is probably one important part of it. But it's also making sure that they have a reason for being in there. It might not be the most obvious place for a creative organization or a cultural organization to go to the city. It might not be top of mind. So actually trying to attract the right people in, and making sure that also that they interact, as you said, you know, the interaction between kind of the smart tech people in Old Street and Hoxton with the kind of bankers has created fintech, and making sure that we have interactions between the more traditional forms of businesses, professional services businesses in the city, and these new creative people. I think that will be a bit of a challenge, almost kind of find excuses to meet and talk and generate ideas. We would have if that is done right, we have a fantastic and unique opportunity to renew the city and come up with maybe businesses, hybrid business forms that maybe didn't exist before, maybe even couldn't exist before we had this working from home, globalized kind of approach that we have today, where technology allows us to work from anywhere, but you still need to meet people.
Which, you know, and you started kind of flagging into things that we can do to be useful as entrepreneurs, reflecting on something you just said a moment ago. I think it's beholden for the city to have a bit of humility to realize it can learn from some of these other crafts and other creative industries, that they have a different way of thinking. And, you know, the existing way of thinking isn't always the right way. And definitely with the grow out of Hoxton, you know, the banking industry benefited hugely from it, because out the back of the crash, challenger banks came in, new banks were trying to find themselves, the old banks were trying to rediscover some kind of reputational equity with their customers. So there was a huge amount of kind of design thinking, user experience, customer experience type consultancies that were also hanging around the Hoxton area that, say, look down the binoculars at the city. But I think that's where, getting to the point about us as entrepreneurs, I think that's where I wouldn't say we're utterly unique, but I think we're more unique within the city fabric than many, because of our lovely broad family of some really pure creatives that we've got sitting in there. And, you know, we already support organizations like Culture Mile, which are obviously very active in this task force, right through to the other, you know, hard-nosed business folk that have been in the city, and every flavor in between. So not to say that we're the one-stop shop and that we're the panacea to everything, but it feels like there's a uniqueness in our thinking which comes through very much as we go about our life as the company of entrepreneurs, and the way we interact with each other and help the city, so things like mentoring and stuff there, you know. So again, trying to move the comment into a question: as the master, where's your mind's eye looking in the near future as to where can we be useful to the city and help drive, you know, the culture and commerce task force forward?
Well, you've I think already highlighted one important aspect, which is the kind of the breadth of experience within the company of entrepreneurs. I think we have so many amazing people from so many amazing industries and backgrounds, and often multiple backgrounds. So I think we have quite a unique set of resources in terms of our skills and experience. I think one of the other benefits of the entrepreneurs in the context of kind of city companies or city livery companies is that at the moment we only accept as freemen people who are genuine entrepreneurs who've started their own business from scratch, and therefore in this situation where London is kind of facing an unprecedented challenge, I think our group of people are excellent at grabbing those challenges and kind of go, okay, how can we a problem is it's kind of a good start for some new creative thinking and solutions. So I think our kind of can-do attitude, I think, is also hopefully going to be helpful and enable us to support the Culture Mile and other city organizations in this transition as much as they want us.
No, absolutely. And again, I think you're absolutely right. You know, we're very optimistic, glass half full problem solvers, aren't we? You know, we just, where others see problems, we, you know, whether we're mad or not, we see opportunities. So I think that's absolutely spot on. And again, I think part of the current activities that we do, which I think are massively relevant to this, you know, if we all recognise that once furlough is finally done and gone, you know, once employers really see the true cost of the pandemic, regrettably, I think we'll see the unemployment figures only go in one way and it won't be the right way. There's going to be a big talent pool that need opportunity and need change, you know, and, you know, singing the praises of our own folk, we do so much excellent work with our outreach and education committees already and have used that as an agent of social change, you know, and social empowerment and mobility. So I just think it's lovely to think that if there's a danger that the city goes a little bit back to tight and thinks, you know, kind of, I need people that look like me. So they go in and they go into schools, but it's the kind of, you know, the grammar schools, the academies or Oxbridge University, and they take the best of the best, you know, then we could have a problem with inner London boroughs then struggling as they used to in the past to get a kind of fair share of voice in the city. So I think it's a great opportunity also for us and also to, you know, to be a voice for others to encourage this kind of diversity of talent that is now available, because, you know, sadly, you know, many of them won't be in jobs. Many of them will actually look to start businesses, and, you know, feels like that's a good place we can really go and help people.
Yeah, absolutely. The other aspect that you kind of touched upon is, you know, all those people who are looking to start businesses. You know, we are, I think we've done a lot of mentoring and support and so on. So, you know, if you are out there and you are kind of, you've already started a small business, you know, in your living room, or you're thinking about it, you know, there might be ways that we can help get that off the ground, maybe mentoring, maybe support in various ways, and really help reinvigorate the city with new ideas. So I think hopefully we'll look back on this in 20 years' time and think, you know, that was kind of a good opportunity for the city to renew itself and come up with new ways of doing things. But it's going to be a challenge in the meantime to test out different things. Some things will work, some things will not.
Yeah, yeah. And as I think it was very eloquently put by your friend and ours, Richard Burge, as the CEO of the London Chamber of Commerce, that, you know, this isn't the first time we've been in this kind of place, and go back 400, 500 years. If the plague didn't kill half of London in the 1600s, the fire soon after had a damn good go behind it, and, you know, it was resilient enough to return from that. That is the beautiful fabric of the City of London, isn't it? That it marches on and it creates opportunity.
The city has been there for a long time. There is a fantastic depth of skills and abilities, and you know, there will be a city going forward. It's just, can we, hopefully this report and the little we can do as Company of Entrepreneurs can help renew it, and for it, for this to be, with hindsight, an opportunity for renewal rather than kind of first step down the hole.
Lars, I think that's a nice place to finish. I feel this is the first of many conversations we're going to have on the topic through the time we spend with each other during the course of this year. But, you know, good call out to the Lord Mayor and his office for doing this in the first place. And, you know, I know we've got a couple of our freemen that have been chairing and co-chairing some of the work streams sitting in it. So I guess, you know, thank you to those folks for what they do. But the sheer effort that's being made to make sure that we're all here next year.
Yeah, it's an excellent initiative, and I'm very happy to... that it has happened, and very happy to support it as much as we can.
Super. Lars, as always, thank you. Till the next time.
Thank you, Mark. See you soon.